Better Leaders, Better Schools, episode number 17.
Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where school leaders go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top influencers in education. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Daniel Bauer.
And in my opinion, vulnerability leads to authenticity and trust. And when you have trust, there's nothing you can't accomplish. Be yourself. You don't have to be someone else to be an effective leader. Hey, this is Daniel Bauer from Better Leaders, Better Schools. I help school leaders create a winning culture, focus on the essential, and lead with courage and integrity. The blog and podcast was made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential. Get more content and resources at betterleadersbetterschools.com. Better leaders, do you need some winning leadership phrases? Download my free gift to you, the 15 Phrases of Effective School Leaders. The 15 Phrases of Effective School Leaders is an MP3 where I share a variety of phrases that have served me so well over the years in all my leadership positions. Get it now for free by texting phrases to 33444. That's phrases, P-H-R-A-S-E-S, to 33444, or by visiting the website betterleadersbetterschools.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at betterleadersbetterschools.com/book. Listen to this. There are over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And now it's time for some 5-star reviews. John Fortney writes, "Ideal PD for leadership. I use an 8-hour road trip to get some amazing PD. Daniel demonstrates his passion for education and leadership in each episode. It is not always for a new admin to get great info on topics and trends. This does that and more. Thanks for making a boring road trip valuable." And John, I want to thank you personally. You know, we got to tweet back and forth and emailed a little bit, and I really appreciate your listening. You connecting with me and what we're trying to do at Better Leaders, Better Schools is not taken for granted. I appreciate you, John. Hey, this is Daniel from the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. I'm coming to you today with a special solo episode, much like episode 15, which I really enjoyed and you enjoyed too because you told me so. The data in terms of listen shows me that, and people definitely responded. I'm bringing you this episode solo today. The topic of today's podcast has to do with my most popular blog post, 200 Tips for Effective School Leaders. It's had way over than 1,000 page views, unique page views. A bunch of people shared it through social media. And that's one way, if you've been enjoying the show, a few things you could do to say thank you would be to subscribe, rate, and review in iTunes. Or when you read a blog post, just share that content out. So if you liked it, if you resonated with it, on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Google+, whatever your community of choice is, would you share that? That extends the reach. It allows me to help more people. And the whole goal of Better Leaders, Better Schools is to build the leadership capacity of school leaders. And what I love about you, the listener, you're serious about your success. You're already a high-level leader, but you're humble. And you know that you can always improve. Good can be great, and great could be even better. So thank you for listening. Thank you for your humility. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for your feedback. And thank you for sharing via the social networks. So today's podcast is going to come from that very popular 200 Tips for Effective School Leaders. And we're going to go through tips 13, 14, and 15, which is delegation, vulnerability, and journaling. And to start off, in terms of delegation, I want to read a quote to you. This quote in the article where I pulled a lot of this information from will be linked in the show notes from a website called Mind Tools, but it'll be linked up there for you. And we're going to start off with the quote in that blog post. The author is unknown. It says, "Even super you needs help and support. There is no shame in asking for assistance. Push aside the pride and show respect for talent others can bring to the table. And remember that there's no such thing as a single-handed success. When you include and acknowledge all those in your corner, you propel yourself, your teammates, and your supporters to greater heights." What I love about that quote, one, it's okay to ask for help. Two, push aside your pride and show respect for the talent others can bring to the table. When I was at the Willow Global Leadership Summit this summer, One of the aha moments for me, hire to bolster the team, right? And to add strengths that aren't already there in the organization. So it seems counterintuitive, but that might mean saying no to the best applicant if he or she is bringing the same strengths that you already possess in your organization. And so this is a call for diversity so that you add those strengths that you don't already possess to the team. The third part that I really like about this quote is that when you acknowledge those that have your back, it brings everybody up. It's so important to keep the morale, keep the momentum, and keep honoring people every chance you get. And when you acknowledge those for their hard work, right? So even you, the principal, you got Principal of the Year or you won some type of award. Your school's being acknowledged at a dinner. Sure, you might have set the vision. Yes, you provided feedback and developed the people in your school. But ultimately, it's a team effort. It's never on the shoulders of just one leader. So an example that I have from my school that I'm currently working through, and I think they'd say the same, is I'm a part of this intervention assistance team. And really what we're in charge of is like response to intervention. And to break that down even further in case you're not familiar with it, what do we do when kids are struggling academically, social, emotionally, behaviorally? And so we have a whole bunch of data that we pour through and analyze and then try to design interventions to help those kids. Now, the leadership style I took with this team is knowing that, and this is mostly counselors and teachers and deans, but these folks know the kids way better than I do because they're with them every single day. They're spending a lot more time with them, getting a lot more face time. I let them lead the design of the interventions. I trust the people to, once I provide the data and we analyze it together, and sometimes I just have them analyze it too. But the goal is to take kids that are struggling to help them be more successful. I'm not really concerned on how they get there. What I am concerned of is the execution of the plan. And so when I lead that team, we focus on, here's the data, what does it say? And then what do we want, right? Start with the end in mind. And basically, how you get there is they have the autonomy to choose. And my question to them is, how can I support you within your execution of your plan? And then we're off to the races. So delegation's key. If this works, great. I don't take the credit for it, and I honor those that came up with the plan and executed it. If it doesn't work, I take all the blame. Maybe I should have been more hands-on, but I'm going to protect my people. And that's how delegation works if you're a true leader. According to this article where I shared that quote from, called Successful Delegation, here's why people don't delegate. It's a lot of work on the front end, and I agree. So when you want to hand off responsibility, you got to get crystal clear on what kind of systems and processes need to be put in place. You need to be extremely clear on where you're going to end up, right? Starting with the end in mind, like I mentioned a second ago. So it's a lot of front work, a lot of work on the front end. That's one reason people don't delegate. They also don't delegate because it's easier to work in isolation. One of the joys of creating this podcast has been to learn, even if none of you listened, right? I have learned so much just by having these conversations. One of the things that is a personal goal of mine is get more out of my office, more in the classrooms, more just in spaces where people, hang out so I can connect with them. It's so easy for me to sit in my office. I could, seriously, from 8 to 3:30 and just knock stuff out with my computer and some good music. But that's not it. That's not the leader I want to be. I want to be a leader that inspires, a leader that equips and empowers others to do a really incredible job. So I need to push myself to get out of isolation and make sure that I work with others. Questions you should ask: can someone else do it because of the skill set or expertise they have? Does the task provide an opportunity to grow and develop another person? Do you have the time to train or have a question and answer session? Can you build in time for check-ins and delegation? Here's some keys to successful delegation. Clearly identify the desired outcome. Establish resources and a timeline to check in. create the project expectations together, focus on results as opposed to how the work gets done, and identify any incentives and/or rewards for successful completion of the project. So those are some ideas around delegation, why we don't delegate, questions we should ask for ourselves, and keys to successful delegation. Let's pause here for a moment for a message from our sponsors. This podcast is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. The Education Podcast Network, podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators. For more great education podcasts, visit edupodcastnetwork.com. That's edupodcastnetwork.com. Better leaders, are you looking to upgrade your leadership potential? I have another free gift for you. This one is a PDF, which I call 15 questions guaranteed to unlock your leadership potential. Unlock your leadership potential now for free by texting UNLOCK NOW. That's all one word, no spaces, to 33444. Text UNLOCK NOW to 33444 for your free gift. 15 questions guaranteed to unlock your leadership potential. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at betterleadersbetterschools.com/book. Listen to this. There are over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. That's right. A free audiobook download and 30-day free trial is yours at betterleadersbetterschools.com/book. betterleadersbetterschools.com/book. And now, back to our show. The next tip that I have for you as a leader, I think it's so important to be vulnerable. And I wrote a post about this called Take Off the Mask. I'll link that up in the show notes as well. And in my opinion, vulnerability leads to authenticity and trust. And when you have trust, there's nothing you can't accomplish. Some key points from my article I want to pull out is to be yourself. You don't have to be someone else to be an effective leader. If you read that post or if you're about to go there, I explain as a novice teacher, my first teaching position was in Marietta, Georgia at a school called East Cobb Middle School. And I was well prepared by my college to step in and understand how a classroom should work. But like all novice teachers, I had not developed my identity as a teacher yet. Right. I was still a little unsure of myself. I was still finding myself, like, finding my teacher voice, developing, y'all know this one, the teacher look, right? We love that teacher look. Stop a kid dead in their tracks, chewing gum, cell phone, talking, give them the teacher look. And I really admired this eighth grade social studies teacher. He was able to get his eighth grade students, right? They're the bosses in the middle school. There's nobody cooler than eighth grade students. He was able to get eighth grade students to line up in front of their classroom before entering and be silent. And then every time I walked past his classroom, the kids would always be seated in nice, neat rows. They were never talking. They were never rambunctious or disruptive. It seemed like they were never off task. And I thought to myself, kids can act this way? Because it was the antithesis of my classroom, which wasn't disorderly or chaotic or not focused on learning, but it had a lot more energy. It had a lot more time to connect with peers. You know, things that I've realized now that they're deep in my soul. These are things that I really value in terms of how people learn. I am not a sit down, be quiet type of teacher. Now, I have class norms and I want order in terms of we need to respect the space and make sure learning can happen. But there's plenty of times for connecting. I'm not a guy that has kids sit in rows. We were in groups and collaborative groups. But that was just me. And it took me a minute to find that out. So I wanted to be this other teacher. I wanted everybody quiet all the time. And I think that what I was telling myself, the story I was telling myself that was untrue, was if you do that, the kids will learn more. I thought it might be easier because you're not necessarily dealing with conflict or discipline. And I thought it was a false idea that it looked better, that this is what everybody wanted out of a classroom. And so I tried to be like him and it failed horribly because that is not me. So from that short anecdote, I really just want to push you. we read a lot of leadership books. We probably watch a lot of videos. We listen to these podcasts. Take what you resonate with, learn the core principles, but still be yourself. Be yourself. There's a wonderful book by Brené Brown, who would be an incredible interview, you know, maybe one of my top five interviews on this podcast. I don't know if I'll ever ask her if I'm too scared. But she wrote a book, and I've seen her speak twice. She wrote a book called Daring Greatly, and I really think that this is a book you should check out. She's an expert on vulnerability, transparency, and how to build trust. And so Daring Greatly will definitely be linked up in the show notes. I have a section that I want to read to you. This quote is in Daring Greatly by Brené Brown, but it's from Theodore Roosevelt. And she based her book off of this quote, and I just want to share it with you. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds? Who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions? Who spends himself in a worthy cause? Who at the best knows in the end that triumph of high achievement? And who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly? That's a part of being vulnerable and something that, she expounds on in the book. You have to dare greatly. You have to go for it. And part of being vulnerable is to put yourself out there. Don't play it safe. Be confident in who you are. Express goals that make you passionate. And dare greatly to achieve those things. And if you fall on your face, it's okay. Dust yourself off. Get back up, learn from that experience, and continue to lead. The final resource I want to give you in terms of how to become more vulnerable is from a leadership expert named Patrick Lencioni. I've seen this guy speak a number of times too at the Willow Global Leadership Summit. He wrote a book called Getting Naked, and he uses that image to express how hard it is to become vulnerable. What I like about Lencioni's work is he drives home great principles through fables. And then normally at the end of his books, he sums it up, you know, in a very concise way, what the key points were. So if you're looking for a book, how do I grow in vulnerability? What are the concrete steps that I need to put in place in my organization to value and encourage vulnerability? Then this is a really great book for you, and I encourage you to check it out. The last tip that I have for you, this is tip number 15, would be to journal. And I think that this is a great activity because reflecting on the day helps effective school leaders focus on the results and begin to understand why things work and fail. Plus, who knows, you might want to write a book one day. So I encourage you definitely to journal. One resource I found very helpful online is from a leadership expert named Skip Pritchard, or Pritchard. Sorry, I really actually don't even know how to pronounce his name. I found a blog post of his called Why Journal that a guest blogger, Bruce Rhodes, wrote for him. And it's just really helpful. He notes how many famous people kept journals and diaries, like Rockefeller, George Patton, Ben Franklin, Thomas Edison. You know, all sorts of folks. But what Bruce Rhodes says, and I'll link this up in the show notes as well, is that journaling helps you improve your leadership through better organization, improved decision-making, improved demeanor, attitude, and judgment, enhanced intention, and positive reinforcement. I'm not going to read the article to you, but again, it's linked in the show notes. So if you want to see Bruce Rhodes' ideas in terms of how journaling will help you with better organization, improved decision-making, improved demeanor, attitude, and judgment, enhanced intention, and positive reinforcement, if you need any of those things in your life, then I encourage you to check it out. It really was a great read, and I found that extremely valuable, which is why I want to share it with you. Now, if you're a busy person and you don't have time to check out the blog post, here's a summary that the author Bruce Rhodes wrote. One would be to write early in the morning before events of the day take over. It's most effective, right? Your mind's not cluttered. Hopefully it's not already racing about your giant to-do list. And so that's when it can be very beneficial, in that quiet space of right after waking up, quickly hitting the journal. Find a method too, we encourage you, that you like for writing. So in terms of journaling, I do have a leather-bound journal that the Secret Service gave to me. That's right. We had President Obama and the King and Queen of Netherlands at my school in what year was that? The spring of 2015. And so I got to work really closely with the Secret Service. They're amazing to work with. And I did not see this coming, but I got a leather-bound Secret Service journal, which the guy in me, the guy that grew up wanting to be in the FBI, you know, that just tickled me. I found that so special. And I got a little lapel pin as well, with the United States flag and a Secret Service seal on it. So I use that journal is very special to me, but I like the feel of it. You know, when I'm not using that journal, when I'm taking notes at conferences, I definitely encourage you to check out Moleskin journals. Link that up in the show notes. That is my go-to type of journal. They're those classic black. Now they have them in different colors, but you can get them lined or blank or with graph paper even, but they're just really sturdily made. They're high quality, and it's just, I don't know, I've written down so many great ideas in there. Very thankful for Moleskin and what they do. But anyways, getting back to the summary, so if you journal, you like to use paper and pen, do that. Find a time early in the morning, or this guy suggests the Day One Journal app. I'm also a big fan of Evernote. So whatever works for you, you know, just find a method that you can stick to. One thing the author doesn't mention, but I read in another book, is connect it to a habit you already have or a trigger you already have in your life. So maybe it's you put your journal by the dog food, because every morning you might have to feed your dog. You grab your journal and you journal. And just journal for a little bit of time. We're not asking you to write for hours. And finally, the last thing in his summary that he shares in terms of journaling is don't overthink it. Just start, write what's on your mind. And the final tip is don't overthink your writing. Just start and write whatever's on your mind. You don't want to have a super polished journal. This is just a brain dump, a free write. It's pre-writing. If you do turn it into a book one day, of course you can edit and revise and make it more polished. But the point of the journal is just to get ideas down. And I love what the author of Essentialism, I always forget how to pronounce his last name, might be Greg McKeown, I don't know, sorry. But that's actually similar to the same advice as the author of Essentialism. And he says to write less than you feel like writing, right? Or to write with just one sentence a day. Start small. You don't, what's that saying? You don't eat an elephant in one bite, right? It's one bite at a time. Give yourself the same type of permission to not try to write a novel in your journal or whatever. Just do a little bit each day. And speaking of essentialism, the author wrote a blog post, One Thing Productive People Do Before Reaching for Their Phones, that I really liked, and I want to share some insights from there. I'll link that up in the show notes too. Listen to the dichotomy here and the opposition between your phone and journaling, right? Because I'm encouraging you to journal. Greg says that checking your phone forces you to be reactive rather than proactive. Writing in your notebook puts you back in control of your communication, right? You decide what to write, when to write it, and notifications and people's emails and messages to you and tags on Twitter and LinkedIn and Facebook. Those things aren't all competing for your time. It puts you in control. Checking your phone, and I can also relate to this, fills you with a frenetic, compulsive feeling that you're missing out. Listen, take a breath right now. Writing in your notebook has a calming influence. It slows everything down. Checking your phone has you focus on the trivial many is what Greg normally calls it. writing in your notebook reminds you of what's important right now. Checking your phone fills every spare moment with noise. Writing in your notebook provides a time to think and reflect. And the last thing I want to say in terms of journaling, I'm just going to share again, like I did in my gratitude episode, my 5-minute journal, which I will link up in the show notes as well. And, you know, you can feel free to purchase it. You'll get it. It's already made. It has an inspiring quote. It's in a nice bound, you know, book journal form. But what I do is I actually just take the questions I know they ask. And so I don't have the quote and I just write it in my journal. And so the questions they ask, if this is your first time hearing it or it's a good refresher, you say, I am grateful for, and you write down 3 things. So for today, Monday, December 14th, when I'm recording this, I said, I'm grateful for Bridgeport Coffee. And that's the best, easily the best coffee shop in Chicago. So if you're ever in town, it's on 31st and Morgan, although they have a few spots open now. That's the original. And they have amazing coffee. If you're a coffee lover, Bridgeport Coffee. I'm also grateful for the 5 days until winter break because I'm really looking forward to having time to plan for the second half of the year and actually start planning for the summer. And it's going to be a good time to do that because there won't be any students or teachers there. So I have a lot of time to just kind of sit back and dream about what the school year can look like and then start assigning that stuff to my calendar so that I can execute. And I was also grateful for having a really nice day with my wife yesterday. After church, well, during church, she was rubbing my shoulders, which I love physical touch. So that really made me feel great. And then we went out, got some work done at Bridgeport Coffee House. After that, you know, I had to get some chores and stuff done. But we rarely do this, but she asked if we wanted to play a video game. And that's a little secret pleasure of mine that I haven't shared on here on the podcast before. We played some video games, which, you know, if you know Erica, she really doesn't play games at all. Like the last time we played was probably like a year ago. And so that was a cool treat, but we had tremendous, tremendous fun. So I was very thankful for that. So that's the first thing you say. What are you grateful for? Second thing is what would make today great? And so you just write down 3 things. So this morning I wrote finish evaluations, email student performance levels, and record a podcast. And then you write a daily affirmation. So I wrote, I am compassionate. Just something that is going to remind you of your positive qualities and just an affirmation for you. Then in the evening, so I'm going to do it right now, you write 3 amazing things that happened today. So if I think about things that happened today, one, I felt really great about the day because last night after recording a podcast also, I just went through the week and made sure that my week was scheduled out and that I was hitting all the major things that I needed to accomplish. And that gave me a great sense of purpose and a great sense of control. And it gave me a great sense of having a plan that I could execute. And so that spilled over today because it helped me stay incredibly focused and really knock out most of the things I wanted to get done. Another amazing thing that happened today, just going through the notes of my teacher evaluations and writing those thank you cards put me in the right mindset that I needed to be in. And I was just thankful and happy to write those cards because we have some really cool people that work in my building. And the last amazing thing that happened today was I got to focus in on a side project I'm working on, which happens to be another podcast. And I really like who I'm collaborating with and the people I'll be around while working on that podcast. So it was fun to devote some time and energy around that. The final thing you put in the 5-minute journal. So this is something, a habit I have formed. Last thing you write is how could I made today better? And I've preached about taking breaks. I've encouraged you guys to maybe even meditate or pray. And I've struggled, if I'm honest, to make time for that recently. And I probably just need to schedule it into my calendar because when I am working from, bell to bell, so to speak, or if I'm working from 10 to 11 on one project and 11 to 12 on the next, and I do that from, you know, when I get there at 8 to when I leave in the evening, I'm not taking breaks. And what I found is that sometimes I kind of get in a rut. I might get depressed actually by the end of the day, or I might just kind of be wound up. So I know physically, emotionally, mental health wise is not what's best for me. And so that needs to be a priority. And two apps I recommend would be Calm and Headspace, because I am not a guru in terms of how to meditate. But those apps have helped me out quite a bit. And if I could have made the day better, I would have taken some breaks and allowed myself to pause during the day. So those are just some thoughts around journaling. I hope that you found those meaningful. And I hope you found this episode meaningful. We talked about delegation, vulnerability, and journaling. If you enjoyed the show, like I said, please share it on social media. Leave a comment. Hit me up on email, daniel@betterleadersbetterschools.com. Or I'm very active on Twitter, @_betterschools. I've said this before, I think, in the gratitude episode. Oh, speaking of gratitude episode, if you haven't listened to that, check out episode 15, but I talked about the thank you challenge. And that's been such a pleasure to participate in. And I hope that you are doing it as well. Some folks have reached out and said they're doing it. And that challenge, just to reiterate, was to write one thank you card a day. Today, I kind of went bonkers. I was working on the paperwork aspect of teacher evaluations, and I was adding the data, the observational data that I had into our system, so then I could tag it with what domain it was in terms of Charlotte Danielson's framework, and I was also going to rate it from unsatisfactory to distinguished. In going through my notes, my heart was just overflowing with like just excitement and gratitude for the positive experience our teachers give our students at my school. And so I just started scribbling thank you notes about what I appreciate about those folks, and what I heard from the conversations, in terms of pre-observation conferences and that sort of thing. What I really want to say is, please consider the thank you challenge. Writing a thank you note, I've heard from so many people I respect and admire, as a thing that can actually move the needle in your organization, and a great way to show thanks and gratitude and encourage your people. And so I really hope that you accept the challenge and start to build that in your daily routine. Hey, Better Leaders, thank you for joining us on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Visit us at betterleadersbetterschools.com, a blog and podcast made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential. Do you want to be awesome? I know you do. Please leave a 5-star rating and review for us. Click the podcast artwork and long press the show some love link. That'll bring up a page where you can leave a review. This helps the show stay relevant in iTunes and reach a wider audience that wants to become a better leader. If you'd like to connect with me, and I would love to connect with you, there are also links in the show notes. The blog and podcast has an audience in over 100 countries. Connect with me via email, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or the website betterleadersbetterschools.com.